This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Tina Camilla and T. Xiaoik. Before the break, we talked about why inclusivity in children's books is important. Mm-hmm. And before we get to our second story, we do have a social media poll going.
Yes, so on Twitter, we're asking you whether children are effective change makers. 61% of you said yes. Mm-hmm. 16% of you said no, they're too idealistic. Mm-hmm. 12% said no, they don't know enough. And 11% of you just can't take them seriously. You can still participate in the poll. You can look us up on Twitter at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us your thoughts 018-789-8899 or call us 773-2900. We also have a few comments. I think some of you are just being really cheeky here. Ranger Carl said that don't know, was terrible with small change when I was six, might need to wait till after they do fractions.
I think we're talking about different kind of change.
Yes.
Also, yes, a lot of adults can't do fractions still. So.
Yes. Unruly Drooly said, yes and no, I can't choose. Ha ha ha. Abe Aim said that, yes, children change up so many things, schedules, finances, sex lives, and the works.
We're not talking about change in your life, Abe.
But I hear you.
Yeah. Let us talk about what kind of change we're talking about, actually. The reason for the poll is because children all over the world will be skipping school this Friday, the 15th of March, to protest about climate change. So the global strike for future came about after 15-year-old Swedish student Greta Thunberg started cycling to Stockholm's Parliament House for a weekly school strike for climate since August. And she's demanding her government to adhere to the Paris Agreement. And thousands of students now have begun to do the same in their own country. And they are finally mobilizing for a worldwide strike this Friday in which students in more than 40 countries, some media outlets are also reporting that up to 70 countries, in fact, including India, Bangladesh, Japan and South Korea are expected to participate.
Isn't that phenomenal?
It is, actually. I wonder Malaysia, whether anyone's picking that up. Mm. But to qualify the significance of this movement, we have on the line Mike Campton from Malaysian Youth Delegation. So this is a local youth climate movement that represents the youth in global climate actions, including to UN climate negotiations. Mike, why do you think the younger generation today is so much more invested in global issues like climate change?
I think it's a couple of things. Number one, we're living in a world that's way more connected than ever before. If you see the last 10 years or so, young people are growing up with social media, and there have been, you know, several revolutions that happen on social media, and climate change is this next one that I think will take the world by storm, no pun intended. But I think that because young people are on social media and they are so easily able to access information, access the right science, and able to influence others, I think that's one reason. And then the second reason is because you know, in the past, people have said that, oh, we need to fight climate change because, you know, we need to think of our children and our children's children, right? But now the narrative, I think, has to change, and we need to start saying, like, we need to think of our generation right now, because young people are starting to see the effects of climate change all over the world. So I think that's why, you know, people, younger people are starting to take notice and act out as well.
So how exactly does climate change affect the younger generation?
So the thing about that is, you know, when our parents were growing up, they weren't so exposed to all these climate events or these, you know, like floods, fires. And the younger generation, they're going to be going into a world where this is going to be happening more and more frequently. And what this means is that standards of living across the world will change. Migration will affect a lot of people. And just the way that young people will live their lives compared to the generations in the past will be a lot different. So that's why I think it's very important for young people to speak up now.
Okay, but some might argue that children don't have the right to vote, let alone make and implement policies. What is the purpose of youth activism? Why should they make their voice heard?
See, that's exactly why youth climate action or youth activism needs to exist. Because children don't have a voice, there need to be some people thinking of these children. And if there are children or youth or young adults who are thinking of the younger generation as a whole and giving them a voice when they can't speak at the polling stations or electing their representatives, and we can have sort of younger people who can vote speak for them, I think that's going to be very powerful, because the younger generation have a view for the future that they want to be safe and secure, that they're not seeing is being, you know, fairly represented by people in office all over the world at this moment. So I think, in my opinion, and I think around the world as well, young people are feeling they're not being done well by, right? They're not being represented as well as they think they should be. And I think that they're thinking of a future where they want to be safe and secure, but the policies, the decisions that are being making, that are being made at this moment are not supporting that future or that vision of a better world or a safer world or a more secure world. So that's why it's very important for young people to really put these ideas out there, get more young people to start taking notice and to start talking about climate change, and then hopefully getting the support from older people who are in position of power and who can make decisions. People saying that because children can't vote, then they shouldn't have a voice. I think that's exactly the reason why young people need to have a voice and speak up and act.
So if children want to march for climate change, why do it on a school day? What is the significance?
So I think that that goes back to when I think everyone now knows the name Greta Thunberg, right? She was probably one of the pioneers who started doing this strike every Friday. She would go on strike on a school day, and I think that's very significant to show the world that look, this is very important. And although education is very important, but climate change is extremely, extremely important, that we want to take a day out and make our voices heard. And then if you're skipping school to march or to protest or to strike, that hopefully brings more attention from the decision makers to be, okay, these young people, they understand what's going on around the world, and they're trying to make a point so that, know, we can live in a better world. So I think there is a significance there, but I do not want to downplay the fact that, you know, education is very important, and that's not the point. The point here is that we want to get people talking about climate change, and that's one way to do it.
So have the grown-ups basically failed? Is it all in the hands of the children now?
I think that I would rather say that the grown-ups have delayed. Because I don't want to say fail, because I still want to keep an optimistic outlook on things. And I still see that there's a lot of teamwork and support and collaboration between younger people and the grown-ups, so-called. So I think that if they can begin to listen to what younger people are asking for and demanding, and work together between, you know, young people and the grown-ups, people who are in power and able to make decisions, then I think that's the way that we should be going forward.
So then how can adults support children who want to speak up about climate change?
I think just have conversations with the young people. So try and understand what young people are thinking. Try not to dismiss young people so quickly when they have ideas or they have thoughts or they want to speak about climate change. Understand where they're coming from and then have a dialogue. And I think that's applicable to anyone, right? Not just with grown-ups and young people, but between young people, between people who do not agree with each other. We need to follow the science on climate change. There's a scientific consensus that climate change is human-made and it is affecting us all. And we need to have open dialogue, and that can happen between parents and teachers and grown-ups as well.
What are your expectations on the outcome of the Children's Climate March?
I think the purpose of this is quite clear, right? Climate change is affecting every single part of our planet. The science is very clear. The problem is that either people are not talking about climate change enough, or people are denying climate change and people are being slow in acting on climate change. So what I want to see from this climate strike or climate march on the 15th is to see more people to start taking notice of the issues surrounding climate change, why it's important for people to start taking action to fight climate change. And also the thing about this climate strike is that this is not a one and done kind of an event. This will keep going until we get a future or a world that is safe and secure for not just young people, but everybody.
And what advice would you give to our youth, our Malaysian youth, who want to find out more about climate action and what they can do about climate change?
So there are a couple of things. I would advise that if you're in school, if you're in college, then definitely try and speak to your friends, your teachers, to see if there is interest in forming a group, right? You can always form your own group. But there are also groups in Malaysia, such as the Malaysian Youth Delegation, who are actively lobbying governments, actively working together and engaging with the government and NGOs, trying to implement climate change policies here in Malaysia as well as internationally at the UN. What we're doing right now is we're actually recruiting new members to join us, to join the Malaysian Youth Delegation. And anyone can sort of find us on our social media, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all MYD Climate. And if you join the Malaysian Youth Delegation, you get to sort of stand up for the youth voice in Malaysia and fighting for a better future with climate policy and lobbying. So I would say definitely reach out and look for different youth groups or just different groups in general who are taking climate change seriously and wanting to act on it.
That was Mike Campton, a representative of the Malaysian Youth Delegation, a local climate action movement.
Yeah, so I think this story is really incredible. Just the amount of, I mean, the developments over the course of the past few months, right? Yep. You read about this one young teenage Swedish girl.
Greta Thunberg.
Yeah. And at first I thought like, you know, girl, just stay in school. Because when I was 15, all I cared about was getting number one in class. That was my world. The world was not literally my world was, you know, doing well in school. But then I started seeing a lot of my, you know, a lot of my colleagues who are covering environmental stories and how they continued the coverage over this, over her activism, and then just seeing the movement grow globally. I think that's incredible, because I would never, as a 15-year-old or as a, you know, 50-year-old, I don't think I would be able to ever create such an effective momentum.
And all by herself. Yeah. So we always talk about children or young people sort of doing things in a group because they need sort of that peer support, which is important, but she did it by herself. Yeah. Yeah. And now she has thousands of children behind her.
But that, in a way, that's the thing, right? Like, it started off as one person, and because of the time we live in and because of things like social media and the internet, this has actually become one of those things that has rippled literally across the world. And who would have thought? And I think, like, that's something that as an adult, even if the possibilities are there, sometimes, you know, you become jaded, you become cynical, and you think that, oh, nobody's going to believe this. Maybe it takes that combination of wanting to make a change with some level of optimism that hasn't and hopefully will not be sort of pushed out of them. I find the story amazing.
Yeah, and I wonder whether it is just the time that we're alive right now, where, you know, like you said, the social media and the youth being so, I guess, empowered, and just us being just grumpy and cynical in general, right? And they're just given up on the adults to do something, and they started to, you know, realize that maybe they should do it themselves. I mean, I would say that this global strike for future, you can draw parallels between them and the March for Our Lives, the youth-led gun control movement after the Parkland
shooting,
right? And how it's the youth that's taking over the narrative, mm-hmm. right? They're the ones that, mm-hmm. that are front and center in your media coverage, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe this is the age of youth activism.
And I think we really can take our cue from them in terms of what issues really resonate with them. You know, too often policymakers and decision makers are sort of making decisions on issues based on just...
This is how we've always done it.
This is how we've always done it. Or some skewed perception of what the constituency wants. But are you really listening to who your constituents are?
Yeah. And it's a case of also, and if you look at the Parkland shootings, they were kids that were directly affected. Yeah. They went to that school. They lost friends. Yeah. And similarly, in this case, kids, I think, are feeling the effects of what it's like to live in a world that they didn't contribute to making, but are going to inherit in
the
fairly bad shape.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what Shawik said, which is that often policymakers sit in an ivory tower and they're very removed from these issues.
Absolutely.
And I remember with the activists from the gun control, which is on after the Parkland shooting, you know, a lot of people thought, well, how long can this last, right? Like the amount of scrutiny they went through, the amount of interviews, you know, they were bashed by someone as powerful as the President of the United States. But they didn't give up. I mean, that takes a lot. A lot of grown-ups can't deal with that kind of pressure and scrutiny, I suppose.
And even in the case of this global strike for future, this climate strike by the school children, actually a lot of teachers, even climate scientists, were very supportive of them. I mean, some teachers are complaining about, you know, look, I've already planned for your lessons for this Friday. You know? But in the larger, you know, if you look at the larger picture, yes, you want to make a statement and you want to make it felt when if children are not in school, you feel it, right? As an adult, you think, okay, look, I mean, one may argue that education is your future, but if there's no future, if there's no planet for you to live in the future, then what's the point of your education, right?
I would in fact say that this is education, learning about your environment and knowing what you need to do to change it. Maybe more important than fractions.
I think Mike used the word revolution.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what most of these are, right? Strikes are a big part of protest. Strikes are a big part of sometimes revolutions, where you express when you're unhappy with something and you stop something from working. In this case, the kids are stopping the school system and the education from going ahead because they want to make a statement.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying stay out of school. I'm saying, yes, sometimes some things are perhaps...
I think there's also a generation or a couple of generations of us who have not had to stage revolutions for anything. We've been comfortable. We've had a good, comfortable life. We didn't protest the Vietnam War, for example, you know, things like that. So it comes as a bit of a shock that suddenly we are living in an age where change needs to be sort of driven through. And I think it's great that young people are recognizing it.
And because we perceive those young people, or we're so often perceiving them as not caring or coddled or lazy or whatever,
spoiled,
all of these things.
Entitled.
Yeah. And clearly, that may be on us more than them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In fact, we asked on Twitter whether children are effective change makers, and 60% of you said yes. The remaining 40% are different variations of why you say no. 13% said no because you think that they don't know enough. 16% said no because you think that they are too idealistic. And 11% of you just can't take them seriously. But 60% of people basically think that, yes, children are effective
change makers. That's promising. Yeah.
I think this story is a wonderful example of that.
Yep. So if any of your kids are striking on Friday, don't scold them.
Make sure they really are striking, though.
For change. For climate change.
Well, that is all we have for you today on The Daily Digest. But you can keep the conversation going. You can continue tweeting us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us your thoughts at 018-789-8899. Do check us out also on Facebook. Our page is BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on BFM.my, on our BFM app, also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, I will be speaking to the people behind Pesta Film Kita, and later also to Terry and the Cuz Productions about how they're taking Malaysian theatre international. We'll leave you now with, aptly enough, Children of the Revolution by T-Rex, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.